Good morning. There's money up here. Is this the tip for the scripture reader, the preacher? The test. All right. We've got a lot of folks gone over the summer for different things. Last year, a lot of you donated to the cause for Bill and Scotty Sherrill and their many years of service here so they could take a trip to New England. They have done that. They are there. In fact, I got a text from Bill yesterday that they are at Niagara Falls. Second honeymoon, I guess, for Bill and Scotty. Very exciting. We have the youth group that's been in Antigua on the mission trip. They flew in. Last I saw, they were in Atlanta. They're supposed to fly to Shreveport. I'm assuming they're driving back this morning. Scotty, you've had contact? Okay, by the time we get out, maybe they'll pull up, so you'll get a chance to see them. So that's great. And I wanted to show you a picture because our own Rodgelin is in South Africa, in Zimbabwe, and there's a baptism going on while she was there. She put that on Facebook, for those of you who are on Facebook friends with her, but she put that out there and sent that to me this morning. She wanted to emphasize that the water in this baptistry came from a well that was drilled by this congregation. So one of the first wells we drilled over there, and she had a chance to see that. I will be going there in early August to help train some preachers, so very exciting work going on over there. Well, it is our custom, if you are interested in prayer with our elders, a couple of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room. You can meet with them at the end of the sermon this morning. Also, if you are interested in becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're interested in being baptized into Christ, we can do that this morning if you'll let us know at the end of the sermon. If you're interested in knowing more about being a follower of Jesus, you can grab a hold of me or meet with the elders back there, and they'll be happy to spend some time studying with you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we've heard the scripture reading this morning in the life of Job. And we think, naturally think, that life is so unfair, and it was so unfair to Job. And we also experience that unfairness in so many different ways. And yet, Father, through all of that, we know that you have an ending in mind, that you will overcome all of this unfairness, all of this evil, all of this sin, and this sick world. And so, Father, we put our hope in you. And as we reflect upon the challenges of life and the unfairness of life this morning, Father, just ask the blessing, your blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word. It's your son we pray. Amen. How many of you have been on a cruise? Been on a cruise, right? Okay. Maybe you went on it and it was something like this, or you were expecting something like this, right? Something really calm, casual, beautiful surroundings. Or maybe if you got a little bit more energy, you were thinking something like this, right? Probably not many of you were thinking of something like that, right? Although some folks have experienced cruises like that, and so it ends up like this, right? Right? We don't go on cruises expecting that result, right? We don't go into life expecting that result either, but maybe we should. Maybe we should. Genesis tells us that Cain and Abel brought their offerings to God. As you know, Cain's offering was rejected and Abel's offering was accepted. And the Lord spoke to Cain and said this, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. If you do what is right, then things will go right." Many of us live by that philosophy, and it's certainly true that if you do things that are wrong, very often things are going to go quite badly for you, right? If you cheat on your girlfriend, do not be surprised if you don't have a girlfriend much longer, right? If you go 100 miles per hour on your motorcycle, do not be surprised if you do not live much longer. If you do wrong, certainly things are likely to go wrong for you. But if you do right, does that mean things are going to go right for you? Well, at least one person in the Bible found this to be patently untrue. Job, who we've heard about in our scripture reading this morning. And I want to just remind you of how that story starts. And I asked Damon to read the whole thing because I thought we needed to hear the whole thing. But this is how it begins. In the land of Uz, There lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He did right, but things did not go right. In fact, they went way wrong. He's got all of these flocks, all of these herds. He's living the good life. He's got great children, got a great family. Everything is going well. And then it all falls apart. Children are killed, flocks and herds are taken away, and all he is left is with a nagging wife. I wonder if he would have said, Lord, could you just not have reversed all of that? You know? None of it mattered. He lived this righteous, good life. This is a guy who made offerings on behalf of his children just in case they did something wrong. And none of it mattered. And so naturally, he complained to God about it for quite a number of chapters in the book of Job. Doesn't seem fair. And we're all about fairness, aren't we? I mean, we're raised in families that are all about fairness. If Johnny gets a cookie, well, then Billy gets a cookie too. If Mary gets to watch her program for 30 minutes, then Molly gets to watch her program for 30 minutes. If Bobby gets to ride in the front seat on the way there, then Tommy gets to ride in the front seat on the way back. It's only fair, right? So it's no wonder that we grow up shocked at the unfairness of the world. It doesn't take long for our illusions of fairness to be shattered. Mark Buchanan, Christian writer, tells a story about a little girl named Caitlin who was in preschool with his daughter. He went to pick his daughter up one day, and there was Caitlin. She was usually bubbly and full of laughter, and she was just staring off into space. And he spoke to her, and she didn't respond, and then he tried to get closer to her, and she just was still staring off into space. The teachers came around. She wouldn't respond. Her mother showed up, would not respond, and in fact, passed out and went into a seizure. They took her to the hospital. And after many studies, they discovered that she had Batten's disease, a rare, incurable, degenerative neural problem. Her parents were godly people and prayed for their daughter, but to no effect. And about that time, the neighbors of Caitlin and her family won the lottery, $600,000. The people already had their house paid off. Why do they need to win the lottery? Why are they even playing the lottery? But they win $600,000. Next door, Caitlin has died. Our illusions are not always so difficult maybe as that. Maybe you just got cheated on a grade at school. Maybe somebody has been rude to you at work. Or maybe somebody took a set of car keys and just went down the side of your car. So we become angry and we become frustrated. Such things should not happen in the world. People shouldn't act that way. What we really mean is life should be fair. Do we have a right to expect that life would be fair? The psalmist seemed to think so. Psalm chapter 73 wrote these words, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, 'How would God know? Does the Most High know anything?' This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments.'" Life is not fair. Did you catch how that psalm opened? I'll go back to it. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." If you do right, things will go right. Isn't that how it works?
Not the case for the psalmist, though. He's seeing it all go wrong for him. And for people who do wrong, it all seems to be going right. Why should we expect that it would go right? Why should we expect that the world would be fair? Isn't fairness what happens in a world where God is completely in control, where everything that God wants to happen does happen? Isn't fairness something that should happen where we're in a world that there's no death awaiting us? Isn't fairness something that should happen in a world that is not sick? But in fact, our world is sick. Our world is infected. In the movie Grand Canyon, the actor Kevin Kline plays this wealthy man who's on his way home from a Laker game. And he gets stuck in a traffic jam, so he decides he's going to take a shortcut. And wouldn't you know it, he ends up in the worst neighborhood in town. And wouldn't you know it, his car breaks down. And so he gets on his cell phone, and he has just enough time to call for a tow truck, and he loses reception, and then he's surrounded by a bunch of thugs. And they're threatening him, and he's locked the door, but of course they could break the window, and then one begins brandishing a gun, and he's fearing for his life. And about that time, Danny Glover, the tow truck driver, pulls up, and he begins hooking up the car with the tow truck, and the thug with the gun says, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. Now you're interrupting, you're interfering with what we're doing here. You need to just move along." And the tow truck driver says this, "Man, the world ain't supposed to work like this. Maybe you don't know that, but this ain't the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to do my job without asking you if I can, and that dude is supposed to be able to wait with his car without you ripping him off. Everything's supposed to be different than what it is here. Things aren't supposed to be like this." The world is infected, though. And so children are born with spina bifida. Children are born in poverty and dysfunction. And other children are born into racist families and racist environments. The world is very much unfair, so that girls in Nigeria are kidnapped and people living in the mountains of the Sudan are being killed by warlords and unborn babies in this country are being killed every day. The world is unfair. Maybe it would help us with our children if we could just kind of prepare our kids for that, right? "Listen, Johnny, you're going to get a cookie. And Bobby, too bad. World's tough. You're not getting one, right? Mary, you can watch your show for a half hour. Molly, you're just going to have to suffer. Life's tough. Get over it." Let me know if you do that, how that works out, okay? They expect mom and dad to be fair, even if life is unfair, right? But we kind of have this sense of fairness in an unfair world. Things are not supposed to be this way, and yet all creation is sick, and so things are this way. So should we be surprised, really, that things are bad, that we have difficulty? Isn't this like you have a cold, and then you're surprised that you have the symptoms? "Man, I know I've got a cold. I know I'm sick, but what's up with this cough? Where did that come from?" Or isn't it by being surprised, you know, "I know I cut my finger, and it's infected. I don't understand why it's throbbing." I mean, why would we be surprised when we know that the world is sick and the world is infected? Why should we be surprised that the world is unfair? We cannot like it. I don't like it. But it really should not surprise us that the world is an unfair place because the world is sick. Actually, we maybe ought to be surprised that it's not worse than it is. Right? People wonder, why is it that bad things happen to good people? Sometimes I wonder why good things happen at all. It's kind of amazing if you think about it, with a sin-filled, infected world. Why do good things happen at all? So we can all agree with the tow truck driver. Things are not supposed to be this way. The world's not supposed to be this way. But that suggests to us that there is a way it is supposed to be, right? And the Bible at the very end tells us one of these days, God is going to bring it back that way. Book of Revelation. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, look! God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or no more mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" A time is coming when people will not key your car. A time is coming when they will not mess with you at work. A time is coming when children will not be kidnapped. A time is coming when no children will be born with disease. A time is coming when life will be fair. But until that time, we live in a most unfair world. And sometimes the unfairness is a little bit beneficial to us. We have a couple of places in the Bible that talk about this. First of all, the book of James. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And then the book of Romans saying much the same thing. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Are these guys who are gluttons for punishment? Bring on some more. We want some more of that. No. No. But what these passages do is they remind us that difficulties are useful to us, because they remind us that the world is a mess. And we have all these ways of sheltering ourselves from the mess, don't we? We have enough money that we can make sure that we are well fed. We live in a land where our children generally do not get kidnapped. And we buy our houses in nicer neighborhoods or out in the country so that we can sort of shelter ourselves from the crime that's in our community. We have insurance and doctors to take care of us when we're sick and not feeling well. But all of that shielding only lasts so long, because sin and illness and death are hot on our trail. And the smooth sailing goes on for only so long. Before long, at some point, the seas are going to get rough. And those rough seas remind us that things are a mess. And we're not just about now, but we are about later. One day, God is going to step in. So you remember the psalmist? The psalmist is concerned about all of these things. He says, I almost slipped up in talking about all of these things, because I saw all these good things happening to bad people and people who were doing right. Well, it wasn't going right. So I almost slipped up. I almost said it's really not worth pursuing God and trusting in God and worshiping God. I almost slipped up. But then he comes to this verse in Psalm chapter 73, verse 15. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. He went to church. He goes to church and he's reminded, oh yeah, this isn't the end of the story. The story goes on. It ends differently this, because we have the great storyteller who's going to make it end differently than this. And so trouble creates perseverance, and perseverance leads us to hope, the end of the story. And so what is it we are going to do then in the midst of these rough seas? Because we're going to have these rough seas. Life is unfair. We are going to live as if we are already in home port. We are going to be home port people in the rough seas. We're going to live as if the difficulties are not the last word. We're going to live as if God has already brought the victory that He will bring in the end. And we are going to live God's way. We are going to be God's people and live God's way even when other people do not. We are going to be God's people and live God's way even when life is unfair. And we will persevere in hope. Sometimes life is like this. And other times, it's like that, right? But Revelation tells us one of these days it's going to be like this. One of these days there's going to be victory. God never promised us that we were going to have smooth sailing. What He promised us was a phenomenal finish. Let's stand and sing.